the dry, barren land, it waits for that when will rain come from Allah, when will the winds come, the clouds come. When the clouds come, when the rain drops, when the rain falls, then the old barren, infertile land becomes fertile, and plantations arise and crops grow, animals come, birds come, life exists around it, within it. So we see that the land is dependent on the rain coming, the rain falls, the earth becomes alive, the land becomes alive. And the mu'min, the human being, his life, his scenario, the whole life is the same. He is dependent on one thing. Allah's rahmah comes, Allah's rahmah, mercy is there, success will come. If Allah's mercy is not there and within the life of a human being, then he is like the barren land, that no fruits, no crops, no vegetables will grow, nor will it's just like the earth, isn't it? So nothing can grow and develop from within that human being. Just like the barren land, the crops don't grow. Same way the human being will not get satisfaction, happiness, etc. Who gives illness? Who gives health? Allah. Who gives rizq? Who gives wealth? Allah. Who gives children? Allah. Everything is done or ordained by Allah, and is no other force. It's not the medicine that cures a person. It's not that if you get married that the children will come. Thousands of people there are who are married but they don't have children. There is a system, but it's dependent on Allah's mercy. We have to understand this. If Allah's rahmah will be there, success will come. And the solutions will come. If there's no rahmah, then there's no end result. We need to make this point very solid in our minds. Nothing can give us success. Nothing can give us the results, or nothing can take anything away from us, and nothing can fulfill something in our life where there's a gap. But there's one thing that can do all of this, which is the rahmah, the mercy of Allah. Yes, very big sabak, very big lesson that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given to us, the people of Iman, that you have no need to fear, you have no need to worry, just concentrate and focus on my rahmah. Yes, Allah says, pay attention to my rahmah. Rahmah comes, isn't it? Allah says that focus towards me, focus towards my rahmah, my mercy. And if you focus and look towards me, then my rahmah will focus on you. So if this point we understand, then inshallah all worries, distresses and troubles, all of these will go to one side. First and foremost, we need to think that this is the issue. So I need to get Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy, paying attention to me. And it's Allah who gives everything. And this can happen. And it's all in Allah's control. It's all in Allah's control. Yeah, we need to understand this. So everything else is just the means, the methods that we implement to get to the end result. No one can give to us. There's no power that anyone possesses that he can give to us or she can give to us. Yes, nobody can lift the burdens if Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq and control and Allah's permission and Allah's mercy is not there. So this is what we need to understand. So such a big point that all our lifelong, every turn of life is dependent on Allah. So how can we get Allah's mercy to focus towards us? Yes, how can we get Allah's mercy and to focus on us? If we go on Umrah, if we do ibadah, if we pray salah, if we pray tahajjud, if we do dhikr, many actions and amal that we do, isn't it? We do. But all of these are dependent on what? They are dependent on Allah's rahmah, mercy. So this point, put this into your minds, that everything is dependent on Allah and Allah's rahmah. If rahmah is there, then these plants will give the flowers. If there's no rahmah, flowers will not come. If we pray salah, if Allah's rahmah mercy is there, then our salah will be successful. If we recite Quran, based on Allah's mercy, we'll get the success from the recitation. There's a rizq, there is wealth, but if it's Allah's rahmah there, then it will give us success. Yes, everything's there. There's production, everything's happening. But what we need is Allah's, what do we need? Say loudly, Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. So why don't we get to the position that Allah's rahmah, mercy is focusing on us, and this is where shaitan is capped with his hand. Do this, do that, go there, do this. Thousands of actions he'll bring in front of us to try to give us happiness. People will come and say, oh, I'm stuck here, what should we do? Or do this wazifa, or recite this, say this many times, this, do this action. But one tariqah method, Allah's told us, very beautiful, and this point has just come to my mind. What a beautiful point. Beautiful. Allah Ta'ala instills the points into our minds. This is the way that Allah's karam. This is also Allah's mercy. That Allah Ta'ala is the one who instills the understanding. It's just within a few seconds, I'm telling you. Within seconds. Why? Because when Allah's rahmah and mercy is there, then the issues that are lasted for years can be solved within seconds. And I don't know who will need this discussion and advice. Thousands of people listening, women and children, people who are upset or distressed, worried. Somebody's doing chillas, somebody's doing khatams and reciting or doing different actions. I will tell, do this and you'll get the success. You'll get the solution. You'll hit the target. So, the first thing is that do umrah or do hajj or recite Quran, whatever you do. But if Allah's rahmah is not there, then all those actions are without light. Because remember, everything that we do is based on Allah's mercy. So rahmah, how can we get Allah's rahmah to focus on us, to be attentive towards us? Not that we just being paying attention to Allah's rahmah. We say Allah, that automatically Allah's rahmah comes to us. Shall I tell you the methodology? Subhanallah. Such a great amal. Such a great, say subhanallah, subhanallah. Say it again, subhanallah. And again, subhanallah. Such a great amal, Allah, that such a great action, effective action, to pull and attract Allah's mercy. Seconds are too long in time. That so quickly does the mercy of Allah, immediately, suddenly it comes to the aid of an individual. This is Allah's promise. This is all based on Quran and Hadith. Suddenly, immediately, the mercy of Allah, it hastens to that person. And an event comes in my mind as well, inshallah, I will share that with you. Subhanallah. That how Allah's rahmah pays attention to that person. So what is that? That is it. That it is the big barrier we have in front of us that doesn't allow us to get Allah's mercy. We can do all the actions of the world. But the tariqah, the method Allah has prescribed to us, that pay attention to my mercy and let my mercy come to you. Shaitan doesn't let us practice that. Makes a person stop their nafs. Shaitan don't allow us to benefit. My brothers, there's one element. What is that element? That when a person does tawbah, when he repents, immediately Allah's rahmah mercy pays attention to that person. Immediately. Yes? Whether he does it loudly or quietly in his heart, in his thoughts, it's such a fantastic action. There's no witness, he's not saying it loudly, he stood in the marketplace, he's going this way in the car, in the plane, walking, wandering around. Suddenly, he pays attention to Allah and says, Allah, forgive me. Allah says, not forgiving. Here, I'm with you right now. Subhanallah, ask from me, what do you want? That is tawbah, repentance. Asking Allah for forgiveness. That's why in the hadith it is stated. Allah says that you can maybe be late in everything in the world, but be late not for one thing. Don't be late for one thing. What is that? That if you commit a sin, immediately repent. And because as long as that sin is there, then Allah's mercy will not pay attention. We do hajj, we do umrah without Allah's mercy. Hajj without Allah's mercy. We recite Quran without Allah's mercy. Why? Because all of these deeds we are doing without tawbah, without repenting. We do tawaf, keep on drinking zamzam, do whatever you want. But how is the subject closed? From tawbah. That when we repent, Allah's rahmah will come. When tawbah is done, Allah's mercy comes and it becomes the ruh, the soul of his deeds. Noor comes into his deeds, light. And it will become an ajeeb, unique tawaf, a tawif, ajeeb umrah, ajeeb, beautiful recital of Quran. I swear by Allah, if you read Quran with the mercy of Allah, then Quran, subhanAllah, you don't realize where you are sitting. You pray salah in such a way that you don't realize what a beautiful sujood and prostrations that you'll do that day. Where was I stood? If you do, was I doing sajda in Makkah or was I doing in Medina? The beautiful fragrance comes in the wind. I tell you, wallahi, I swear by Allah, that the person's emotions become like this. So this is the wujud, the body of the human being. These are his thoughts. Allah Ta'ala, he knows about our thoughts, and Allah Ta'ala takes the ruh wherever he wants. And then the ruh, the soul travels. Here you're saying Allahu Akbar, but Allah's attention, Allah's mercy has paid attention to that person because he's done tawbah, he's repented. Then Allah Ta'ala allows your ruh, your soul to wander. And Allah will take you to those maqams, those locations, positions. When you're praying salah, you will feel like you don't want to stop praying. You see the pious elders, they prayed long prayers, salahs, long prostration, long recitation, because their ruh wasn't present there physically at that time. Wherever they had love and muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala and his deen, the ruh that would wander there, say subhanallah, subhanallah. So this is tawbah. Repentance doesn't take a second. And as I said, Hazrat Umar, the event, yes. This was the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, commander of the faithful, leader of the Mu'mineen. And he was the ruler at that time, and he was just. He would go walk in the streets, in the alleyways, and he would mete out justice. He had the big burden of the ummah, the people. He accepted that responsibility. He understood that responsibility. He said, and if there's a dog that dies thirsty, then Umar will have to answer for that. This was the hakim he was, subhanAllah. So once he was walking outside, what's going on in the area, he saw an individual. He had a bad habit of drinking. Umar is walking, there's nowhere to run. The alcoholic's coming in front, and he's got the bottle trying to hide it in his armpit. He said, oh no, I'm done for now. Because he knew that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that nobody could be safe from his vision. He will take hold of me. He'll grab me. He'll catch me. He said, oh, what shall I do? I can't run away. I can't be saved. I can't be protected. And I've got a bottle with alcohol inside it with me. He said, oh, that's it. That's the end of me today. And the people had fear from Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, what shall I do? He's walking, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is coming in front of him. And Hazrat Umar understood with his vision that this sinful person, he's not taking heed. He's not improving. And he said, come here, please. Come. He said, oh, that's it. I'm done for now. I'm a goner. He thought, how shall I get saved? Suddenly he thought, Allah, today, save me from Umar. After this, I will never drink alcohol. Say subhanallah. Who is he saying this to? Allah. That he's not going to listen to me. And I know what he's going to do. He's going to grab me and shake me. So he's shaking with hope and fear. So straight he ran to Allah in his heart. He said, Allah, I'm done for now. I'm finished. Umar is going to grab me, punish me. Please protect me, save me. And I promise to you, I will not drink alcohol after today. I do tawbah, I repent. So Allah put into his heart, fine. Your tawbah is accepted. And now, whatever you call it, just call it whatever you want, this liquid. What have you got? He said, nothing. He said, have you drank? And he knew with his vision, the mu'min, that he had done something wrong. He said, what's under your armpit? He said, nothing. He took the bottle out from his... He said, what do you mean there's nothing? What's in the bottle? What's in there, the liquid? And he said, there's milk. I was just bringing some milk in this bottle. Is the milk, the goat milk, fresh? Hazrat Umar said, is it? Open it. Subhanallah. Open the bottle then. Hazrat Umar said, let me see if there's milk. And he said, there's alcohol inside it. That two sins, one is alcohol on top of that lying, so alcohol and lying, now he's stuck. So when he took the bottle and he was trembling, his hand was trembling, he thought it's still there, he opened the bottle and he saw it, and Hazrat Umar took the bottle and there was milk inside the bottle. Allahu Akbar. So he was surprised himself. He said, was it milk? Oh, okay, it was milk. Hazrat Umar, what could he say? He said, okay, fine, that Allah Ta'ala has accepted your repentance. Subhanallah. That this is how quickly Allah Ta'ala's rahmah mercy comes to the aid of a stricken person. If we grab hold of this point, this solution, that don't commit the sin. But sins are committed by human beings. That a person not to do any sins, that's impossible, isn't it? That's written in our destiny that after being a human being, that this will give you progression. Sin, this takes you to my nearness. Allah says, but alongside that, when a sin is committed, Allah Ta'ala says, do not delay, don't leave that place. First, before you go far from that sin you've committed, call out to your Lord. And what do we say? We commit sins, we keep them with us, and what do we say? Oh, tawbah Allah, I repent to you, I repent to you. No.
Now, we do tawbah according to our desires. I'll do tawbah for this sin, I'll leave this. This is hard, I'll repent for this one. I'll do that action, I'll leave this action. Can this be right? What sort of repentance is this? What sort of request for forgiveness is this? So, your whole body, and it cannot be that you're sick, so let's leave this part of the body and we'll use this part of the body, and I've got a cold, so please trim my nose. How can this be? That if you have a malady in your body, then you get the cure for the whole body. You don't say, oh, this limb of mine is paining me, so cut it off. Or my nose, I've got an extreme cold, so cut it off. No. Tawbah, repentance, means that all the sins that an individual is doing or has done, repent for all of them. Don't pick and choose. Don't be selective. What we do is what we like, what we want to carry on doing, oh, tawbah, tawbah, oh, and the rest of the actions we continue. No. This is not correct. Allah's hukam, Allah's order, is that whether it's an external or an internal sin, zahir wa batin, every sin we should repent from. Because Allah Ta'ala is speaking until the inner self. Allah says that to your inner extent, the inner self, the batin. Allah is not just saying exterior, external. Allah says that whatever sin you've committed, definitely the punishment will come. We will not leave it, and very quickly the punishment will come. We should see this point. So how can this be? How can this be? Okay, fine. Let's accept one thing, we say. We said we'll accept one thing. Person follows his nafs, desires, and he doesn't see himself that I'm committing a sin, or he doesn't think that anything of his is, there's something wrong with it. So there's a method here. There's a method. That if we want the mercy of Allah, I'm telling you that we will commit the sins, and when we leave here, our shop, our business, our children, our family, our ibadah, everything will remain. Remember one thing, if we don't have tawbah, if we don't repent, then Allah's rahmah, mercy is not an action. And remember this, that there's no other action that can attract Allah's mercy. There's only wahid, one action that immediately makes Allah's mercy focus on a person, which is tawbah. When a person does tawbah, repents, and after that he practices good deeds, then Allah's mercy reigns on the person. So Allah's given us that ability. Latifa qalb, ruh, sar, khafi, all of this nafs, all these lessons of the spiritual self, the dhikr that we do of Allah, then they all open up, they expand, and Allah's rahmah, mercy enters through those doors. But sad thing to say is that we go and we do dhikr on those lataif, and we do dhikr in the way we've been told, but Allah's rahmah, mercy is not coming. Only, yes, so when a person goes to a sheikh, a teacher, and he gives dhikr, latifa qalb, and that dhikr of the heart is such a great, great action. The shri, the commentary, all the heavens, and the, whatever there is, we see around us, if you gather it together, that the heart has such a great capacity that you can put everything. The heart can withstand everything. The kalima, the kalima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Great. So how Allah ta'ala opens the door of rahmah on the heart? Yes, with the teachings of the shaykh. But why doesn't the rahmah come? Because we haven't done tawbah. Yes. So why don't our deeds get accepted? Because we don't have the mercy of Allah. So my brothers, sin, the person when he commits a sin, what he should do, that nafs will not tell us. We sat down, we should scan ourselves in front of the Shaykh, the Hazrat, I want to do tawbah, I'm in front of you physically, and my batin, please scan it, and I'll tell you what my situation is, and then you will do tawbah, and this is the Shaykh. The Shaykh will scan you and tell you that this is lacking in you, fulfill this. And that person, if he's youthful and sincere, and he comes with an honest heart, he'll say, I'll do it right now, alhamdulillah. What do we expect? The Shaykh, the teacher, tell us time and time again, why are you not doing this? Why are you not keeping the beard? Why are you not doing this action? Why don't you do it like this? And this is some kids' game, is it? If he tells you once it's sin, that's it. That's it. No, we go after him. How can this be? Why not this way? Why can't we do this? That you've been explained to, that if there's a sin, there's minor sin, the Quran says, my rahmah will not come. My mercy will not come. So, this is Allah's karam, Allah's mercy, that He has sent us to somebody, a teacher, and with His fadl, His grace and kindness, He's shown you with His kindness, not His duty, with His love, He said to you that, leave these wrong actions and do the good actions. Say Subhanallah. So if you criticize Him, we can't do this, I'm forced to do wrong, and crying, complaining, doubting, asking time and time, can we do it this way, can I do it that way, is that a sin? Sin is such a definition that a sin it keeps on knocking in the heart of the person. Yes, it makes him feel like a thief. He wants, his nafs wants that I get a little bit of support. No, you're fine. Yeah, you know, we keep on asking people, now if I do this, can I do this? And he asks those people who are thieves themselves. They commit sins themselves, and he asks them, I'm doing this. Is it okay? Yeah, that's fine. You can carry on doing it. No problem. No difference is made. Why are you asking that person? Go to such an individual who will scan you and will be pure and have independent. He won't be biased, and he'll say, like, this is fine or this is not fine. Yes? That he's gonna say to you, no, this is correct or this is wrong, or correct this, but we're not doing this. Do you understand what I'm saying, or you don't understand what I'm saying? So tell me, what a great point, a great teaching. And how much a person is living his life without rahmah. He's eating food, bread, and drinking water, doing ibadah, worshipping, prostrating, but Allah's rahmah is not there. That where there is sin, how can Allah's rahmah come there? Ask the list. That I get up in the morning, I pray tahajjud, I do this action and this worship. We'll present a long list. I do this much dhikr, this many tasbihs. Such a long list. I can show a list. Every man will have a long list of what he does, worship. But if we see once in that list, one statement, the Hazrat, Allah Ta'ala said that the best action in the morning, that when you get up, who are those people? They used to wake up in the morning, they prayed tahajjud, they would beg to Allah and cry to Allah. And then what would they do? Daimun abidun. Then in the morning, they would have an occupation to please Allah. What was that? Astaghfar and tawbah, asking Allah for forgiveness. And this is the quality of Allah's mahboobs, of His friends. And this is not tawbah, astaghfirullah. This isn't the definition of tawbah. That only if, subhanallah. So remember, that we mix istighfar and repentance. That a person says, yeah, do tawbah. Yes, I do istighfar. How many? I did 1,000. So Allah's rahmah. This is not istighfar. This is not asking Allah for forgiveness, repentance. Yes, if istighfar has been done, then this is a very big achievement. Allah gives rewards, big rewards to His mahbubs. Allah Ta'ala selects angels that do istighfar for this person, ask for this person's forgiveness. Subhanallah. And Allah Ta'ala tells the angels to do this. This is my servant, and he's done tawbah, he's repented, subhanallah. And that he will be occupied with my ibadah, my worship. So do istighfar for him. What is that istighfar? That they will do istighfar, they will ask Allah to forgive him, which will elevate his status. Yes, so we do tawbah, and after doing tawbah, we have true tawbah, repentance, then we commit sin again, then we do tawbah again. This is the system, subhanallah. Yes, so one is the permanent sins, like the big sins, cutting the beard or doing this sin or that sin, and you'll have to reverse them physically, then those sins will end. But if you commit sins, or if you look at somebody you shouldn't have, or you backbite against somebody, these are sins that happen and that can be cancelled straight away, or annulled straight away, or removed straight away. Person should do tawbah immediately based on those sins, because otherwise it will permanently be recorded. So amal, deeds, a person when he does tawbah, repents to Allah, and then after that do tasbih, recite Allah's name, morning, evening, astaghfar. So repeated statement, istighfar, is not tawbah. That's different to tawbah. We need to separate that. But when a person repents to Allah, then he does the tasbih, astaghfirullah, that will purify him and elevate him higher. There's a difference, isn't there? So my brothers, this is the message. This is what we need to understand. May Allah give us the understanding that the Quran and the Hadith, the points that are shared, that we should live our lives according to that. Yes, so let's look at our sins, analyze what sin have I got, what permanent sin am I committing, and do tawbah, repent. If we don't do tawbah, then there's no istighfar. Yes, so Allah's rahmah will not come, Allah's mercy won't come. If Allah's rahmah is not going to come, then we won't succeed. So should we do this, my friends? Yes, this is the action we need to do. Otherwise, all the lataif, the lessons that we do dhikr upon, this is all going to waste as well. Yes. And then to say, oh, I cannot do tawbah, I cannot repent. This is a senseless statement. How can a person not do tawbah? How? If you can't do tawbah, then Allah said, that would He have given us the strength to do tawbah? No, Allah says, I have not put any burden upon you. So we are so weak that if we've done tawbah, and after doing tawbah, after 30 minutes you commit the sin again, then do tawbah again, repent again. Then make a promise, I won't do it. But if nafs forces you, pesters you, your desires, and you try to control yourself, and run away from that place where sin is happening, try to seek an alternative to the sin, try hard, work hard, Allah's rahmah comes when you try it, and Allah will prevent you and save you from the sin. If you say in advance, it's too hard, it's too difficult, it's for the children, we can't take this out of the house, it's for their entertainment, we use it in the evening, my husband's not like this, or the husband says, my wife's like this, I don't want this. This is all a drama. This is all a drama, a game, deception. Consider Allah has made this situation, scenario. This is where I'm living, and this is where I have to do tawbah. For example, that I live here, oh, I've come to this environment, and there are places here where alcohol served, and women are available easily, and thousands of excuses and reasons we put forward. But remember, who sent a person here? Allah. Who is the one who will save a person from sin? Allah. Straightforward, isn't it? So, environment, Allah's given you the environment, but Allah's hukum is the same. Allah's order is the same. Yes, it's the same order, the same instruction. Don't commit sins. Why? Because we should trust this, that Allah Ta'ala is Qadir, He is in control, all powerful. So why won't He save me from the sins if I want to be saved from the sins? Yes, thousands of people, young people, I can give you the examples in front of you. Such youth, young people, they come, they're born here, in this environment, they've studied, they've gone to university, subhanAllah. When Allah's fadl comes with them, Hazrat, I want to do tawbah, then subhanAllah, they go through thousands of the mistakes they've made and they do tawbah. And we, oh, I've come from India, Pakistan, it's too hard for me, the environment's changed, it's hard. You need to have courage, determination, yaqeen, certainty. This haram, I will not take haram. Even if I pass away, I will not consume haram. We're eating haram, we're lying, we're doing wrong, and we're doing dhikr, and praying salah, doing umrah. What is this game, this life? What is this that we're doing? That, how can we clash? I don't see no principle of life that we are deceiving ourselves, we're in delusion, and shaitan, we're making him so happy by doing the wrong actions. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the Quran, هَذَا سِرَاطُ مُسْتَقِيمُ. The path that I brought, this is the right path, the straight path that I'm telling you. Take this, adopt this, bring this into action. You understand what I'm saying? So, to say, oh, I'm forced to do sin, it's hard for me, it's like, we say, if you're sick, and the hand is paining you, you won't cut the hand off, will you? Or other parts of the body that are hurting, you're not going to cut them off, are you? So in the same way, we need a complete iman, complete deen. So completely we need to do tawbah from the sins, repent from the sins. Just like whatever sin, we're committing alongside astaghfar, astaghfar. Not the astaghfar repeated on the tongue. Three things are in repentance. Step number one, for tawbah, repentance, which is the definition of tawbah. Without that, tawbah will not be fulfilled. That will be the tasbih of tawbah, reciting astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. First you need regret, remorse. Yes, step number one of tawbah, astaghfar. Regret, remorse, and oh, how did I do this? So you grieve over the fact that how did I do this? How did I say this? How did this occur? He's thinking and he's feeling. How did I commit this mistake? How can I commit this mistake? How? Yar, that sometimes I do this and I do that. Why did I commit this sin, this wrong action? So he's feeling regret, deep regret. That's step number one of tawbah. Step number two, Allah, after today, after now, I won't commit this sin again. I will leave it right now. Physically, I leave it right now. And he leaves the sin right there. And the third point, that Allah, I promise, I will never commit this sin again. I will never. When these three things he puts together, yes, like the person, subhanAllah, who was the alcoholic in front of us, Umar, then he said, Allah, save me, I won't drink alcohol again after today, I'm very ashamed. What answer will I give to us, Umar? Ashamed of himself in front of Allah. But he's ashamed in front of Hazrat Umar. Oh, sometimes this happens, but this was the effect of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. SubhanAllah. You know, that person, he's had bayah at the hand of the sheikh, he's afraid of the sheikh. He's not afraid of the sheikh, he's afraid of Allah. SubhanAllah. But obviously, he's in a difficult position, and the teacher, he is the person protecting the student, so obviously he's going to physically meet the teacher. So a person who doesn't have khawf, fear of his sheikh, he will never fear Allah. Remember this. Remember this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So the student, if he is immodest in front of his sheikh, immodest, no haya, what difference does it make? I can do this. He has no shame, no modesty in front of his sheikh, no fikr, no worry, no trembling of the heart, and no feeling that he's done wrong. This is a very severe point. When we hear this in the events of the elders, that when the student went to his sheikh, he was shaking. This was the iman. What's he afraid of? He's afraid of Allah, not the individual, the sheikh, the teacher. So the person, the student, and he has a sheikh, a teacher, and he's just kept him like a common man. There maybe is a little small minute difference that when he is in front of the sheikh, he doesn't know how to walk next to him or talk next to him, how to meet him, greet him. Oh, he's just like a normal person. I've heard what he had to say. No, no, no. So much awe should be felt at whose hands you've done bayah. So much awe, so much awe, so much you should have respect that soon as you see him or you learn from him, you will not leave him for anything. I'll tell you the reality. These are the words of the deen, of our deen. This is not drama. And when I swear by Allah, when this khawf comes, that when you speak, you have respect for that person, and you're a little bit afraid of speaking to him, you're afraid of coming close to him, how can I speak to him? Then understand, inshallah, Allah's khawf fear has come into the heart of that person, and he's become successful. Subhanallah. And as soon, subhanallah, shaitan, he does this first and foremost. Shaitan, he makes a person immodest, he detaches him from the sheikh, he goes against the sheikh's teachings and sayings, and he loses modesty, worry, loses adab, loses respect, he doesn't have his sheikh in, he held him in esteem, and he criticizes him, speaks negative of him. Consider he's failed, it's better that you take that person away from there, because he doesn't need a student like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are these impacting your heart, Sufis? These are points of tasawwuf that I'm telling you. Subhanallah. So fear, it comes in advance. I'll give you the example of Hazrat Umar. Why was he afraid of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu? That he had the bottle of alcohol. Allah is first. It's Allah's order. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he didn't give this order. Whose order was this? Allah's. And in front of Allah, he's opening the bottle and opening the lid and drinking. But he didn't have fear of Allah, but he feared Hazrat Umar. So when the fear of Umar came to him, he said, Allah, I'm finished. But who did he turn to? Allah, subhanAllah. And this is what happens, that when the fear of the sheikh, the khawf comes into his heart, adab, and he feels that, then subhanAllah, I used to see sometimes the Hazrat Sahib, the people used to go to Hazrat Sahib, and as soon as they would see Hazrat Sahib, wallahi, they'd start to cry. Remember once, in the beginning, early days, when I didn't have adab, and so when I went to the service of my sheikh, I went to do true tawbah, I was not capable, and I was not worthy, and my condition was such that I didn't know Hazrat Sahib, I didn't know nothing, there was no relationship prior to that. But as soon as I took his hand, then the first big impact was that khawf came into my heart. Say subhanAllah, khawf. So my habit would be that whenever I'd go, and I'd pray nafil, salah, give sadaqah, this was my habit. If I went 10 times, I'd do this 10 times. Subhanallah. So after going there, arriving there, what would happen is that tears would flow. That such a hard heart, never knew how to cry. But such an emotion would overwhelm my body, myself. That the tears would, as soon as I saw Hazrat Sahib. So then, Hazrat Sahib, very old Khadim, Manzoor Sahib, may Allah Ta'ala send His mercy on him and His kindness on him and His grace on him. And I said, Hazrat, what's happening here that whenever I go to Hazrat Sahib, that fear overwhelms me and awe. And he said, well done. He said, Faruqi Sahib, you've become successful. Subhanallah. He said, you've become successful. That's it, Alhamdulillah. That you have passed the test. I didn't understand what you're saying. That I thought, have I done something wrong? He said, no, you've succeeded. This is what a person needs. That's when a person does tawbah. That the person who is hosting the tawbah, if he has no khawf, no fear, and the person who's doing tawbah, he hasn't got any fear, then it's just a friendship. Let's have a chit-chat when we feel like this and that. Gossip. This is not the right way. So my brothers, this is the lesson we need to learn. We should adopt and follow the true and right path. Stay alert all the time. This is Allah's path. It's very simple. It's very easy. And the most important thing we need to do to attract Allah Ta'ala's mercy, and we need to make a habit in our lives, which is let's correct our sins. And after that, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. I won't do this again. Three things: remorse, regret, number one. Number two, to promise to leave the sin and not to do it again. Straight to immediately make this niyyah, I won't do this again. And anywhere in home, outside, sins should not be widespread or being committed. Otherwise, this hypocrisy there. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina mursalin. Shafi'il mursalin. Ta'ayyaseen al-habib al-habib. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعشي أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وإنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أنزل الوقت المخرج يوم القيامة صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم انظر بالخطر من عبدك ومن عاتيك وعاتيك مستغفر الله وسبيك من شر ما صنعت وقولك بالنعمة فاغفر لي فانه لا يغفر الا انت. اللهم اغفر لنا سنوبنا وسلمنا اصلنا جدنا خطمنا امدنا كل ذلك. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت ما اخرت ما اسررت ما اعلنت ما سررت ما تعلم به انت المقدم وانت المؤخر لا اله الا انت. اللهم ان يتوب اليك من اهل البدع اللهم ان يتوب اليك منا يرجو الابدع يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث استغفر الله العظيم لا اله الا هو الحي القيوم واتوب اليه. ربنا اننا امنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا واسراف النار في امرنا وثبت اقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربي اغفر وانت خير الراحمين ربي اغفر وانت خير الراحمين ربي اغفر وانت خير الراحمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار. وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفور يا رب العالمين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا ولا تعقد. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن اللهم اغفرنا بحلالك ونعمك ونبيك من سواك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. اللهم رب ارحمهم كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. الله يحيهم من الموت برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.